Hey, you will carry this cross as this Jesus guy is too weak to do it himself.
And he calls himself a god. What kind of god can't even bear the weight of a cross? Those thieves had no problem carrying their crosses.
Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days have come in which they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck. Then they will say, mountains fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if these things are done in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
He says he can destroy the temple and build it back up in 3 days. Looks like he can't do anything now. You saved others. Why don't you save yourself? If you are really the king of Jerusalem, save yourself and we will believe. Now show us your power and come down from that cross.
You say you are the Son of God. Where is God now?
He looks like any other man hanging on a Roman cross to me.
And he will die just like any other man.
Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother.
If you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and us too?
Do you not fear God,
For we are in the same circumstances, but we deserve the punishment we are getting. For this man, however, has done nothing wrong to deserve this. Lord, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom.
Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani.
He calls for Elias. Let's see whether Elias will come and take him down.
I thirst. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished.
Atticus, what is that you have?
We threw dice for that Jesus guy's clothes, and it was all in one piece, so we decided not to tear it apart.
Did they really crucify him?
Well, of course we did. He was guilty, just like any other man, and he died just like any other man. No one survives a crucifixion at the hands of Rome.
Do you think that his death had anything to do with it getting completely dark during the day?
What is all this crazy talk? He was a man, just like all others.
He did claim to be the Son of God.
Nonsense. He was a man like all others, and he died just like any other man. Woman, where is my supper? It's well past time.
Your supper's coming right up, but...
No buts about it. He was a man just like all others.
Did you feel the ground shake today?
I did.
Well, why did the ground shake?
Well, how should I know? Do I look like an astrologist to you?
I think that there's more to this Jesus guy.
I've had enough of this. I don't want to hear you say that name again in this house. I'm going to bed.
Atticus. Atticus.
Who is it?
Atticus.
Who are you?
I am.
I am? Who is I am? What kind of game are you playing?
Oh, Atticus, I am not playing games.
I'm a Roman soldier. I'm not afraid of anything. Come out and I will kill you just like that Jesus guy on the cross today.
Oh, my son.
This is not funny. Show yourself.
Oh, Atticus, you didn't really kill my son, Jesus.
Sure I did. I nailed him to the cross, stood him up, and there he died.
Atticus, it was not you that killed him. It was not the religious leaders. It was my purpose to send my son to free the world of sin. I sent Jesus to earth so he could be blameless and be sacrificed to be an atonement for everyone's sin.
What kind of game are you trying to play? Because this is not funny.
You're right. This isn't funny. But it's true. All can be forgiven through the blood my son shed on the cross.
What do you mean?
A father, a God, that loves his creation very deeply, but has been separated because of sin.
You love me?
Yes, even you, Atticus. All you have to do is believe and ask for forgiveness for your sins.
How can you love me after what I've done?
Atticus, I look at all sin the same way. None of it can be in my presence.
So then why would you love me?
I loved you while you were still in your sin. I loved you so much that I sent Jesus, my son, to die for you so you can be forgiven if you just believe.
Oh God, I do believe. Please forgive me for all my wrongdoings. Oh God, please forgive me.
Atticus, I forgive you.
All right, I hope you enjoyed our drama this morning. It was a lot of work to put together in a short amount of time, and then April and I and our family went on vacation and left Jody to finish up the last practices, but I hope you enjoyed it and you received from the message. And I have a brief message here this morning to go along with it to kind of finish it up. Title of it is, What Held Jesus to the Cross? It's a great privilege to be here this Easter sunrise service because we clearly... The sun has risen. No grave could hold him down. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, faithful and true, the great I am, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb, the Bread of Life, the Lion, the Chief Cornerstone, Emmanuel, Messiah, Alpha and Omega, Jehovah, Yahweh. So if Jesus is all of these names, why would Jesus stay on the cross? Or why would his father allow this to happen? To find an answer to that, we need to go back to the beginning in Genesis. On the sixth day, God created man and woman in his own image. He created them better than any other animal because he created them to be like him. He wanted to have a relationship with them. He also gave mankind the authority over animals and living things. God looked at everything that he made and he knew it was very good. There was nothing that wasn't perfect. It was exactly how God had planned everything. In Genesis 2:17, God clearly tells them not to eat of the tree of good and evil or they will die. We have to imagine how great the garden was. It was a place where Adam and Eve didn't have to work. They just had the opportunity to go and gather whatever fruits and things that they wanted out of the garden. There was no weeds or nothing that they had to take care of. It was very precious because God would come and speak to them and spend the afternoons together. I'm sure it was a very precious place for man and for God to be able to spend together. But we can see very quickly by chapter 3 in Genesis that Adam and Eve give in to temptation. The serpent tempts them. He questions what God really said. Did he really mean what he said? And they end up eating of the tree that they were told not to. And that is when good was ruined by their sin. At that point, death entered in. They had to start laboring for what they would be able to eat. There would be pain of childbirth. They were cast out of the garden, cast out of this beautiful place that they were in. And the worst part of all was that they were separated from God. It wasn't that God wanted to be separated from them, but he could not be in the presence of sin. So he no longer spent the afternoons with them. Isaiah 59:2 states, "It is our sin that separates us from God." It's not God that left us. It's us that turned our back on God and chose to do our own will. 1 Corinthians 15:21-26. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits afterward, and they are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Here in these verses, it talks about in Adam all die. We are not being punished for what Adam did. It's the fact that we all have done the same as Adam. We have all sinned just like Adam did and Eve did in the garden. God is not punishing us for what somebody else has done, but we deserve the punishment of death because of what we have done. Adam just started the sin nature off and passed it down from generation to generation. But each one of us have that choice that we make on our own to disobey God. Sometimes we think and we try to think that we would do better than if we were Adam and Eve and we were back in the garden and we wouldn't mess up. We think that we could manage to go without eating of that tree. But yet with all that we know from God's word, how often we still mess up and we do the same as Adam and Eve did. God's word is clear on what we should do and not do. And yet we don't follow it time and time again, just like Adam and Eve didn't follow when it came to the tree. Doesn't matter who we are, we all mess up, we all make mistakes. We try to take control of things, we try and do it on our own, we think we have a better plan than what God does, and we end up just making one big mess out of things. And then we need God to fix it. And that is exactly what God did with his son, Jesus. Romans 7:14-25, it states we have a battle going inside of each of us. We all know what we should be doing, but we end up doing what we don't want to do. The things that we want to do for the Lord, we end up not doing. It's a constant battle that we have. Romans 7:15, it says, "For that what I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I." And how often as Christians, even when we know what's right, we end up falling into temptation. We fail time and time again. And thankfully, God doesn't say that that's the end. He's still there with open arms waiting to forgive us. I thank God through Christ or Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It's the battle that each one of us as Christians go through our entire life. It's the battle of worldly things and godly things. It's the battle of good and evil. Doesn't matter what kind of how seasoned of a Christian we are, there's still battles that we will face inside our lives. There's struggles that we have, and Satan will continuously tempt us in those areas. All Christians struggle with these inward battles. I believe it's one of Satan's tactics to make you think that you're the only Christian that's struggling right now. You're the only Christian that has struggles with sin. But that's not true. All Christians struggle. We just have a Savior that has forgiven us. It doesn't make us perfect. We want to follow God. But Satan, just like he did in the garden with Eve, he twists God's word and he lies to us. He gets us to believe half-truths. He gets us to start to walk down a road that we never intended on going down. That road takes us farther and farther away from God. It takes us to places we never intended on going. We have to realize, though, that God is always there waiting to forgive us. God says in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. God wants to forgive you, but we need to repent. We need to accept the gift that Jesus Christ paid in full on the cross so we could be forgiven. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead and is now sitting on the right-hand side of God Almighty. So I ask, so what held Jesus to the cross? It wasn't the nails or the ropes. It wasn't the soldiers that drove the nails in his hands. It wasn't Pilate that hands him over to be crucified as he washed his hands from this deed. It wasn't the religious leaders that put Jesus on trial in the first place. None of those things held my Jesus to the cross. He could have came down at any time. He had the power to do so. There's only one thing that held Jesus to that cross. And that one thing was it was my sin and your sin that held Jesus on that cross. It held him there because God wanted to have that precious time with each and every one of us once again that was lost in the garden because of sin. The only way that he could have that ability to spend with us again was for the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. No other sacrifice could do what Jesus could do. And he went to that cross and willingly laid down on it to be nailed there so that each and every one of us could be forgiven of our sins. Even before we were thought of, we were on Jesus' mind as he hung on that cross. As God turned his back on him as he carried all the sin of each and every one of us, all the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the sins of the future. He took them all to the cross, and he took them to the grave for an eternal death of all of our sins, so that we could have the precious gift of life, eternal life, to be able to spend it in the presence of God Almighty, not because we deserve it, not because it's anything that we've done, but simply because God loves us. And he wanted to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. If you haven't accepted the gift of eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I'm not sure what you're waiting for. Or maybe you're one here today and you've drifted away from God. Maybe you're not doing as you should do, and you know you're not where you're supposed to be. And maybe this will be a time that you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you've accepted him and accepted his gift of eternal life, but maybe you totally haven't sacrificed your life to put him first and live for Jesus Christ. Scotty and Jody are going to come and sing us a song in closing. We'll open up the altar. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would come and we would like to pray with you. If you have drifted away from the Lord and not serving him at this time, or you're going through a struggle in your life, we open up the altar for you to come and rededicate your life, and we would love to pray with you as well. Scotty, Jody.